Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the Gary Simak Show. Today, we're going to be taking a look at the Mass readings, the Sunday Mass readings, for the sixth week in Ordinary Time. I'm going to call this show, Why the Commandments Matter. We're going to hear Jesus weigh in on this. We're going to have some supporting readings that we're going to look at. Why the commandments of God make a difference. Why they matter. That's what we're going to be talking about. So I certainly hope you can stick around with me for the next 30 minutes. Now, as I mentioned, today is the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now, just so we can put this in its proper framework on the timeline, on the liturgical or the church timeline, next week is the seventh Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the following Sunday, the first week of Lent. Believe it or not, we're 2 weeks away from Lent. So less than 2 weeks away from Ash Wednesday. I'm really looking forward to it. I'll talk more about it on the other side of the prayer. Specifically, my Give Up Worry for Lent 2023 tour that's going to be kicking off very, very soon. And what I'm really hoping, I'm going to let you know about where I'll be speaking. If you're in the area, I would love for you to stop on by and say hi. But we'll talk more about that after we pray. Let's turn to our Heavenly Father now. Before we officially kick the show off, let's turn to our Father in heaven and ask Him to bless us, to protect us, and to give me the words to be able to deliver His message. Would you join me? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hello, Father. You know, it's a real privilege, to have you as a guest on my program every week. It's just incredible how you always are willing to spend time with us. No matter where we are, no matter what time it is, you are always willing to spend time with us. All we need to do is turn to you. I forget sometimes, Father, and for that I'm sorry. But today, as I come to you at the start of the show, I first thank you for being here. I thank you for adopting us as your children. I thank you for creating us. And I thank you, Father, for your willingness to spend this time with us and your willingness to accept our prayer intentions. So with that in mind, we turn to you as we prepare to discuss the Mass readings for the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. We turn to you and we ask you to bless us, to bless our families, to bless our friends. We pray for those who don't know you. We pray for those who are discouraged or hopeless or suicidal today. We pray for anyone who is homeless. We pray for anyone who is grieving the loss of a loved one. We pray for those who are persecuted because of their religious beliefs. And Father, we turn to you today and we ask you to open our hearts, to be receptive to your message and willing to put it into practice in our lives. And I ask you, Father, to speak through me, to give me the message so that I can deliver the message you want me to deliver. And as I always do, I ask this in the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for joining me. No, so if you're following the continuing saga of Gary's cough, yes, he's still coughing. It's getting frustrating. You know, it's funny. It's getting better. But I still have an annoying tickle that I just can't seem to shake. So if you want to send some extra prayers my way, I would certainly appreciate them. Especially now that I'm getting into my busy speaking season. So any prayers you want to send my way would be very much appreciated. I feel good, but it's just I can't shake this nagging cough, the complications of COVID and bronchitis. But I do have my my water here with me, water with some lemon in it. So hopefully that's going to get me through this program without too much of a distraction. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about Lent. Lent is 2 weeks away. And I mentioned Give Up Worry for Lent. Now, if you want to pick up a copy of my book, Give Up Worry for Lent, I would recommend you do so now. It's sold out every year since it's come out in 2019. So I'd recommend if you're interested that now would be a great time to pick up a copy of Give Up Worry for Lent. Also, the Give Up Worry for Lent tour is really kicking off within a matter of days now. 2023, I'm going to be speaking at parishes around the country. So if you want to head on over to followingthetruth.com to see where I'll be, maybe we can meet up. You know, I'd love to see you if you were able to come to one of my parish missions. I'm giving 7 of them this year. It's going to be my busiest Lent ever. So if you're in the vicinity, please stop on by. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. And while you're there, you can pick up a copy of Give Up Worry for Lent. There's a link there. And also, I want to recommend to you or remind you that my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, that is going to be shifting over to a Give Up Worry for Lent theme as soon as Ash Wednesday rolls around. So make sure you, if you're interested, it's free of charge to sign up for my email reflections. You can do that by going to, you guessed it, followingthetruth.com. All right, and look, if you have any questions about any of this, always feel free to reach out to me at gary@followingthetruth.com. That's my email address, and you know, hopefully be able to help you out with any questions you may have, gary@followingthetruth.com. Okay, I'll take another sip of this water. Now, here's a funny thing. You know, I've been good all morning. Hardly coughed until I'm starting this program. And now I have it in my head, you know, don't cough. So I'm going to try my best not to. But I'm really looking forward to speaking about these readings today because they're really good ones. Why the commandments matter. You know, we live in a time, and maybe to a certain extent it's always been the case, where the commandments, God's commandments, are not especially fashionable. You know, they don't seem to be, many people don't seem to be willing to embrace the commandments because they might sound too restrictive. And when you hear what Jesus has to say from the Sermon on the Mount, he's going to be clear about the importance of the commandments. But let me just share this with you, if I could. God's commandments are not designed to take our fun away. Sometimes we think like, oh, he doesn't want to let us have any fun. That's why he's issuing commandments. Not at all. God created us. So God knows what makes us happy. He also knows what's best for us. And what he's doing through the commandments and the teachings of the church is helping us to live the life that we were called to live. To live a life that not only will please him and get us to heaven, but that'll make us happy. So by following the commandments, and that is a point that really gets missed these days so many times, by following God's commandments, by not going off in our own directions and doing what we want, by doing that, that's the way we're going to be happy. But there's a lot of voices out there that are telling us and the world just the opposite. If you want to be happy, religion, that's not going to do it for you. The only way we're going to be happy in life is by following God's commandments. So listen, let's look at, and this is, I'm looking at, this is a pretty long gospel today, and with the exception of the first few words, and the first few words of the gospel are Jesus said to his disciples, everything else comes directly from the mouth of Jesus. So this is one of those gospels where the Lord is just going to speak. Let's listen to what he has to say. It's Matthew 5, 17 through 37. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets." Now remember, the Mosaic law existed, goes back to the time of Moses. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And Jesus is coming now, the Messiah. He's arrived. He said, listen, don't think I've come to abolish the law or everything God spoke through the prophets. And he goes on to say, I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. He's saying they were speaking about me. They were prophesying about me. Now I'm here. And just because I'm here doesn't mean these laws that were passed down to you through the ages are going to be invalid now. He's here to fulfill them. Jesus goes on to say, amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, the scribes, the Pharisees, they were just going through the motions. They were so caught up in the letter, the letter of the religious law, the Mosaic law, that they were living a life that completely went against their religious, what they professed with their mouths and in their religious practices. In other words, they weren't being very nice. They weren't really being open to worshiping God the way that God wanted them to worship him. They wanted to do their own thing. And Jesus said, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So he's kind of raising the bar a little bit, you know, because a lot of the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, they thought that it was because of their actions, their works, their self-righteousness. That's what was going to get them to heaven. And Jesus is saying, no, you've got to depend on my grace. He goes on to say, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, you shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to fiery Gehenna. This Raca, it's an Aramaic word. And it's not a nice word. I think it's a form of you fool. And then he goes on to say, you fool. So you're calling somebody a name. You're looking down on them. You're cursing them in a sense. He's saying, this is all a form of killing. It's not just murder that I'm talking about. I'm saying that if you kill somebody's character or treat them in a way that's not a respectful way, that's a form of killing. And you're going to be judged for this. So you see what he's doing? He's raising the bar, making it a little tougher. Therefore, Jesus said, if you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. What the Lord's kind of saying here is, look, don't just worship me in church. I want you to live a life that proves you love me. And the way we do that is by loving others. So if you're holding a grudge, or you're angry at somebody, or you're treating them poorly, Jesus is saying, take care of that first before you come in and worship me. Just don't go through the motions. Don't pay me lip service. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, you see what he's saying? He's saying, look, this is just not a physical act. You can commit adultery in your mind. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. Now, obviously, he is using hyperbole here. He doesn't really want us to cut our eye out, but he's trying to make a point. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. He's trying to make sure that his disciples, and us too, understand that the material pleasures of this life, if we seek them exclusively over spiritual treasures, we're going to jeopardize our eternal life in heaven. That's the point he's trying to make. It was also said, Jesus continues, whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. So you see what he's doing? He's raising, he's elevating these commandments. He said, they're not going away just because I'm here. I'm going to beef them up a little bit. I'm going to take them to the next level. So that not only, because I think what was happening is we have too many loopholes and too many examples of the people, the Israelites, especially the leaders, living lives that didn't match up with these commandments. These commandments were designed for a reason. They were not just meant to direct how you worship at the temple. They were guidelines on how to live your life, and somehow there was a disconnect taking place, and Jesus was trying to reconnect the commandments with our lifestyle, with the lifestyle of the people. And finally, again, you have heard it was said to your ancestors, do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow. But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one. Now, he's really specifically getting into this idea of the of false oaths, which obviously they were being abused at the time. And he's just saying, make good to the Lord all that you vow. In other words, if you promise something, be a person of your word. Which sounds like a no-brainer, but obviously that wasn't happening. So there you go. There's the gospel. It's a tough message. Try to imagine these people who are complacent. They're comfortable. They're thinking, oh, yeah, I got it made. I'm a good person. And Jesus is saying, you think you're good? Listen to this. This is how you can really be good. This is what you are being called to. And they're going to feel really uncomfortable. I think this is a good lead-in to Lent because that's what Lent's all about. Lent is a time to look inside of ourselves and identify the problem areas, ways where we may not be living the lives that Jesus wants us to live. Look at the problem areas and make that internal change. And we'll talk about that more in the upcoming weeks, but he's looking for an internal change, not just exterior changes. The internal change should motivate us to act differently. But a lot of times, I think during Lent, we get confused and we think, well, we just have to do good things. Yeah, we do, and that's what we're called to do, but we're called to change inside, which will what? Lead to doing good actions or proving our love for God by our actions. Let's look at the first reading now, Sirach chapter 15, verses 15 through 20. It's kind of short. If you choose, you can keep the commandments. They will save you. Isn't that great? I mean, that's so brilliant. If you choose, you can keep the commandments. They will save you. They will enable you to live the life the Lord wants you to live, and they'll enable you to get to heaven. All you got to do is follow the commandments. And God tells us what the commandments are. If you trust in God, you too shall live. He has set before you fire and water. To whichever you choose, stretch forth your hand. Before man are life and death, good and evil. Whichever he chooses shall be given him. Immense is the wisdom of the Lord. He is mighty in power and all-seeing. The eyes of God are on those who fear him. He understands man's every deed. No one does he command to act unjustly. To none does he give license to sin. But here's the thing, we have free will. And because God respects us so much and loves us so much, he did not make us to be robots. He gave us the ability to do good, to show him we love him by our words and our actions and our thoughts. Or, because we have free will, we have the ability to reject him. He does that because you can't love someone if you're not free to love. Animals can't love God in a conscious way. They don't have the mental capacity to do it. Man, on the other hand, does. I can choose to do the right thing and love God through my thoughts, words, and actions. If I was an inanimate object or an animal that didn't have a conscience, didn't have the ability to know right from wrong and to make a conscious decision, then I wouldn't be able to do that. So therefore, I can't love in the way that humans are called to love. Humans are created in the image and likeness of God. God is love. God loves us unconditionally. In order to love, I have to have free will. And God's willing to take the risk that will turn against him, rather than deprive us of that ability to love. It's quite a risk, and we all at times turn against him, even if we don't mean it, and we don't live always in a way that would please him. But that's the point of the commandments. He's telling us. And you know what? It's for our own good. But we still have the choice to reject the commandments. And not only do we jeopardize our eternal salvation, but what else do we jeopardize? Our happiness here in this life. Good stuff. Very simple. Not always that easy to put into practice, right? It's that fallen human nature. It's tricky. Responsorial Psalm, Psalm 119. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. Now remember, we had talked about, I guess it was last week, that in some translations of the Bible, the word blessed is rendered as happy. So they're kind of similar. Happy are they who follow the law of the Lord. Yeah. That's the way we're going to be peaceful, if we follow these commandments. Blessed are they whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who observe his decrees, who seek him with all their heart. You have commanded that your precepts be diligently kept. Oh, that I might be firm in the ways of keeping your statutes. Be good to your servant, that I may live and keep your words. Open my eyes, that I may consider the wonders of your law. Instruct me, O Lord, in the way of your statutes, that I may exactly observe them. Give me discernment, that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. Now, you see, remember, thinking back to that first reading, we have a choice. Sirach, the book of Sirach, that first reading we looked at, opens with, if you choose, you can keep the commandments. They will save you. But you can also choose not to keep them. Right? We have the choice. Second reading, St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. Brothers and sisters, we speak a wisdom to those who are mature, not a wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of the age who are passing away. Rather, we speak God's wisdom. Isn't this great how this fits in? We speak God's wisdom, mysterious, hidden, which God predetermined before the ages for our glory, in which none of the rulers of this age knew, such as keeping the commandments. How many people today just don't understand the importance of keeping the commandments? And look, I'm guilty. I mess up. That's why I love the sacrament of confession. In the end, it's what makes us happy, following God's will. Back to the reading. If they had known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Yeah, they didn't get it. They missed the point. But as it is written, St. Paul writes, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and what has not entered the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love him, this God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit scrutinizes everything, even the depths of God. The Holy Spirit helps us to know what we should do in a given situation, how we can please God. And also the Holy Spirit inspires our church. So the teachings of the church are inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that way the church continues the mission of Jesus on earth, because the church is protected from teaching error by the Holy Spirit. Now, you're going to hear opinions. You're going to hear opinions sometime coming from priests or bishops or even the Pope. This sometimes sounds a little confusing. First of all, you have to remember that these words are often misinterpreted, right? That's one thing. And another thing, sometimes these comments are just being made off the cuff. They're not an authoritative teaching of the church. It's somebody's opinion. Sometimes there's a translation issue, sometimes taken out of context. So I'm just going to say, don't get too bent out of shape about something you hear on the news or see on the internet. Don't get too bent out of shape. Focus, if you can, on the unchanging Word of God through the Bible and the unchanging teaching of the church. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church is a great source for that. That is the continuation of those comments you heard, the teaching of the church, the continuation of those comments you heard in the gospel, where Jesus is elaborating on the commandments and he is guiding his people. That still happens through the church. And it's a good thing, because I don't know about you. Well, I have to say this, don't get offended, but I do know about you and about me. We mess up sometimes. We get off the right track, because we get distracted, or we want something, or we misinterpret something, or it's too difficult, whatever the case. You know, the fallen human nature thing. Sometimes doing what I want is easier or more appealing than what I know is right. There's a lot of times when I know something is wrong and I do it anyway. And, you know, I'd like to say that never happens. I can't say that, though. There's times when I say things that I know I shouldn't say, but I just get caught up. I get angry at somebody. Times when my fears get the best of me, that I begin to play the what-if game and consciously choose to worry instead of trusting God. I'll admit it. It happens. I'm impatient with family members sometimes. I feel like I'm in confession right now. But yeah, look, I got to be honest with you. I want you to hear the truth. But that's why I think the sacrament of confession is so important, because not only can we get forgiveness, absolution for our sins, we can get the grace to do better. The Lord's not asking us to be holy on our own. He gives us the commandments, but he's not just saying, all right, now make it happen. No, he's saying, I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit to help you. The trouble is, we sometimes block the Holy Spirit's work in us. So anyway, that's it. We are just about out of time. Good stuff today, right? That's how you find happiness, by obeying the commandments. I'm going to run now. Thank you so much for listening. Followingthetruth.com is my website if you want to if you want to find out more information about my work, or if you want to maybe invite me to visit your parish, followingthetruth.com. I hope you have a fantastic week. God bless you. I'm praying for you. Please pray for me as well. Look forward to joining you again next week. Bye-bye now.